Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I am Will Pruitt. I'm joined by Jake Barnett and making his ProWrestling.net audio debut, Jeff Lutz. Lutz, Lutz, which one is it, Jeff?
It's Lutz, but who's counting,
Lutz.
Really? It doesn't matter. I've been called worse.
Well, no, Lutz, I just think of the character from 30 Rock, and then I assume that you'll want to go out and grab Blimpies after we record this, and that makes me hate you.
The first time I ever watched 30 Rock, it was during the first season. I think he was going, at least in the credits of that show, by J.D. Lutz. And my initials are J.D., and it's actually Lutz, so I figured I was a part of that show. And for reasons other than, you know, just his appearance, that became one of my favorite shows of all time. So I'll share that company, even though he was kind of the laughing stock on that show.
Everyone hated him. Let's hope that you don't become the Lutz or Lutz of .net. I feel like we have enough people to hate on our website. So,
well, if I can get at least Kid Mojo to come over and approve, then I'll feel like I've at least achieved some small victory.
You hear that, Mojo? Get on it. Approve this man.
Please.
So before this is our all-access WrestleMania preview, and we're going to run down all of the matches, talk a fair amount about the big matches, then just give you some rapid-fire picks on the smaller ones. But before we get into that, we need to extol the values of ProWrestling.net membership. Right now, .net members are listening to a wide range of audio. You've got Les Thatcher sat down with Jason Powell for like over 2 hours. Court Bauer, former WWE creative team member, sat down with Jason for over an hour. You've got the Pro Wrestling Torch livecast and the VIP after show with Jason Powell and Wade Keller right now. You've got the .net countdown with myself and Jake counting down the best and worst of WrestleMania build. Thursday, you're going to have Jason and Chris with .net Weekly. Tons of news and notes as a part of that show. I mean, we've got audio for days and days, especially this week, WrestleMania week. There is no better week. There's no better time to become a ProWrestling.net member. On top of that, ad-free access to the site, access to the .net members forum, and really just a great group of people to interact with in that forum. It's membership itself. You also have archived interviews with a former TNA writer and current WWE manager, Zeb Coulter / Dutch Mantel. A lot of interview time with him, tons of interviews with Court Bauer, Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Conan. I mean, it gets crazy up in this joint. On Sunday, Seth Mates is going to be joining Jason and Chris for the former WWE creative team member, Seth Mates. I say his name like people watch the credits for Raw that don't exist. Former WWE creative team member, Seth Mates, is going to be joining Jason and Chris to talk about WrestleMania. That was signed a year out. Basically, guys, am I missing anything here? We've got some crazy stuff going on membership-wise, right?
Apparently, we have a big Twitter reveal on Friday that doesn't coincide with Vincent Kennedy McMahon's Twitter reveal. Jason Powell will have his own.
Yeah, you guys, if you had to gauge it, Jason or Vince, who's going to have the better reveal?
Well, do I reveal something on Friday? Do I announce some kind of reveal here on Friday and try to upstage both of those guys?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Jason won't tell me what his reveal is, so I don't know if you can upstage it or not. I mean,
I may be having lunch at Arby's on Friday. That's my reveal. I'm shooting for Arby's.
Whoa.
I think Jason's going to reveal his beer league softball schedule or something. I have no idea what he's going to do, but I may have
really
to pay somebody to listen to all this audio for me because there's too much of it this week.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I'm driving enough to listen to all of this. My wife gets crazy. My wife yells at me if I listen to, like, a second of a podcast when she's in the car. So I might just take a long road trip on my own just to listen to all of it. It's nuts. But,
As long as people are listening to this show, I mean, you can pick and choose elsewhere, but listen to this first and then decide what else fits your palate, you know, audio-wise.
Oh, yeah, this is the most important show, just like the .net countdown. While it may not be, like, hailed as the flagship, Jake and I both know it's the best show on .net. Mojo knows it. Jason knows it. Chris knows it. I don't know who else needs to know. But
the Holy Trinity right there.
If you're listening to this audio and wondering, how do I get all of that you're talking about, head over to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page. If you take that annual option, lock yourself into after WrestleMania next year, It's as low as $5.50 a month. Really great value as far as wrestling website membership goes. If you just want to try it out for a month, get all those WrestleMania benefits, get all you can right now. It's $7.50 for the month. Guys, it's a pretty decent value. Jake and I know we're members. Jeff, I believe you were a member before you started writing as well.
Well, we probably shouldn't bring it up that I haven't yet received a free membership. Is that a subject I can roast with Jason Powell? The kid kind of intimidates me a little bit.
He's still making you pay?
Can you believe it? That ain't right. That's not right, is it? I mean, we'll have a conversation.
That's terrific. You should probably email Jason about that when the week is over.
I am paying someone to work for them. I mean, it doesn't really get any better than that, does it?
I got a raw deal. That's pretty intense. Guys, let's get into it. WrestleMania, the big match, The Rock versus John Cena for the WWE Championship, the rematch from last year's main event, this time with the title on the line. Rock is the current champion. John Cena's the challenger, won the Royal Rumble to win this right, beat CM Punk in defense of it. Jeff, let's start with you. Talk to me about Rock and Cena and give me your prediction.
Well, I mean, this one goes along with the predictability aspect that we've been talking about since the Royal Rumble. Everything has really fallen into place because they've booked it to fall right into place. John Cena against The Rock, part two. We know Rock is leaving. Well, I don't think he's advertised for Extreme Rules anymore. John Cena is going to win this match. The question is, how do you make it interesting? In my opinion, there's one story to tell with John Cena, and that's a heel turn. It's been said ad nauseum. I'm not breaking any ground or breaking any news with that opinion, but that's the only story left to tell with John Cena. He's overcome the odds. He's been in tag teams. He's done everything possible as a babyface character. He has to turn sometime. Will it be Sunday? I don't know, but they're certainly laying the groundwork for that possibility.
Jake, John Cena heel turn. Do you see it happening Sunday?
You know, I really wish that it does. I still don't see it happening. I think WWE just sees too much money leaving on the table by just doing an out-and-out heel turn. I think we'll see, you know, some of that desperation show through, and I think we're going to see a different John Cena post-WrestleMania, maybe as a result of that. I don't know if they're going to do an all-and-out, Hulk Hogan-style NWO heel turn where the next night he's just coming out and trashing the fans. I don't see that happening. I think they're going to try for more nuance than that. I do think Cena wins, but I have a hard time believing they're just going to flip the switch and have to do an all-out heel turn. It just doesn't seem like they, they're prepared for that at this point. They haven't done enough to make that evident.
I think we can agree, at least on that point, that something has to be different. It doesn't have to be, you know, the dramatic turn with people throwing the garbage into the ring. It doesn't have to be that. But where do you go from here if John Cena is just the babyface champion after WrestleMania when these part-time guys leave and maybe CM Punk's taking time off? Where do you go from there? I mean, it's an occurrence that has happened throughout the past 8 or 9 years as John Cena has been the headliner of the company. Him as champion, there really isn't much ground to break in that area, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, John Cena's been the top guy. Having John Cena be the top guy again, I don't know that it's the best choice. But you turn around, and I like Jake's idea of you don't turn him out and out heel, and I question whether you can turn him out and out heel because he's a babyface. He's been, he's been a babyface / heel since really 2006. John Cena's been booed, and yeah, it's going up, but is it possible that we see the John Cena character just gain an edge, gain something that makes it? I think we all agree that John Cena wins this match. Granted, we all, Jake Ryan and I agreed last year in our WrestleMania preview that John Cena beat The Rock, so what the hell do we know? You look at this match and you go, John Cena's character has to evolve. And maybe that's the most interesting thing about it. Heel turn, no heel turn, whatever it is. It's possible that a term like that is even outdated when it comes to John Cena, that he's a new type of wrestler and a new type of character. But John Cena's character has to evolve. Something has to change to beat The Rock. And I think that's the story they've set up for the past year.
Yeah, he can't be a full-fledged heel. I mean, at that point I would agree with, because if he's a full-fledged heel, then he becomes a babyface to the people who have been booing him, and he becomes a heel to the people who have been cheering him. So you can't really do that, but Cena needs needs something. You're right. I don't know what it is. And maybe this talk about the face of the WWE will change some of the other stuff he said on Monday night. I don't know if that's leading to anything necessarily, or if that's just we haven't really done much to build this. Let's plant that seed. But he needs a change. Maybe a new color shirt. Maybe he needs to go like something that's not a primary or secondary color. A fuchsia maybe would be something that I would suggest.
Well, I tend to take him at his word, though. I mean, he said the face of the WWE will change, and he is the face of the WWE. I mean, he is going to change at WrestleMania in some way or another. I don't see him coming out Monday and you know, insulting people and the fans and whatnot. But I could definitely see, you know, that obsession creeping into his character and leading to, you know, shenanigans of some sort at WrestleMania, whether it's some weird ref bump or however they go about taking care of it. But there's going to be people who have reasons to doubt, you know, John Cena's integrity after WrestleMania. And I think that's the most interesting thing they've done with him in a long time.
Right. I don't think you can tell the story of John Cena becoming a full-fledged heel in one night. If that ever happens, it's going to be a slow, slow build. There's going to be signs. There's going to be storytelling involved. It's not going to happen Sunday. But something may happen Sunday.
Yeah, something's got to give. I think that's the idea of the match. And I think that's the idea that Rock and Cena have built up. We've talked about John Cena. What happens to The Rock? If he's at Extreme Rules, do you think they go right back to Rock versus Cena? Do you think they maybe have Punk get a win over Rock on Rock's way out to elevate Punk? Like, I don't know if Rock is around for Extreme Rules and he loses the championship, what they do, because I don't think that Rock versus Cena 3 fits. It doesn't fit into my idea mentally of what Extreme Rules is. Jake, Rock at Extreme Rules, what do you think he can do?
I don't know if he's even advertised for Extreme Rules anymore, like Jeff said earlier. I imagine he'll probably show up the Monday after WrestleMania to give a promo, and maybe they'll you know, start him on a trajectory towards another match for next year's WrestleMania. I think that's going to be, you know, their goal. I don't believe he's going to be in WWE much more than a few appearances throughout 2013. And I'm anticipating, and this is just me, you know, talking out loud, that he's going to face Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. I'm assuming they're going to probably set that path together here pretty quickly, and I'm not entirely sure when, but I'm hoping it's they start that at least in some sense after WrestleMania 30.
That would be my guess too. Probably Rock WrestleMania 30. The Cena stuff, it's been going on for, you know, the better part of 2 years. It's over. It's done. Time to move on. If they end up 1-1, maybe there'll be a match down the road. I wouldn't expect it to be the next month. Yeah, you turn the page. I mean, WrestleMania is your season finale, in effect. Even though there will be rematches at Extreme Rules, turn the page. Start something different. It's time to catch our breath as fans and observers, and we need something new, I would think.
I agree. I don't know. I'm trying to look up right now, actually, if he is advertised on the event website, because I believe that's where people were getting it in the first place. So let's see. Next month, go to May. This is great listening. You guys can thank me for being so damn entertaining.
We'll edit
John Cena, Punk, Mysterio, Orton, Miz, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Alberto Del Rio. Yeah, I don't see The Rock advertised on this website anymore. So it's possible that Rock... that they thought they had him, Rock had a whatever it is, but I don't know that it's, we assume that. So do you guys think that Rock is gone between Mania to Mania? Do you see him making any secondary pay-per-view appearances this year?
Yeah, just to speak on that previous point, it's also possible they let the advertising leak out. Rock's going to be at Extreme Rules. Knowing the people, once that gets out, they're probably not going to recheck it. Maybe they just assume. But as far as Rock at secondary pay-per-views, I'd probably SummerSlam or Survivor Series, or maybe he's back, you know, by the Royal Rumble next year. I don't think this is the last we see of The Rock for a year by any stretch of the imagination.
What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he'll be around probably, you know, SummerSlam, maybe a few TV appearances. I mean, I think his deal is pretty limited. I don't think he has many appearances on his calendar. I mean, he's already booked to film in a couple of movies right after WrestleMania's over. So his movie career is going to take precedent, and I'm sure, you know, whenever he has a lull in that schedule, he'll make an appearance. But I wouldn't expect us to see The Rock in any kind of full-time capacity like saw him at all. I think it's going to be, he'll be back for maybe a WrestleMania match and a couple of TV appearances. And if they get lucky, maybe a second pay-per-view match or something.
Look, the point I've wanted to make it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you first, man. I was just going
to just the point I wanted to make about The Rock, and I was thinking about doing a blog on it. I couldn't quite, you know, put it into the best possible words, and I doubt I'll be able to do that here, is when people started complaining about him not mentioning WWE on The Tonight Show, and I know he had later appearances where he did have the belt. He did talk about WrestleMania. He did express his pride in being a part of WWE. But The Rock is an actor first, second, third, fourth, fifth. He's a wrestler probably 15th on that list. He's an actor 1 through 14 and then a wrestler. He's acting. This is a part he's playing. He's not the WWE champion. And I know everybody is not really the WWE champion. That's a part everyone is playing. But I think this is just a role for him. This is something that he's doing. He'll go on to the next role after this, and maybe he'll play this kind of role again in the future. He's not a WWE guy anymore to me. He's just an actor, and he's here, and he's playing a part. That's something that I wanted to write about, but I didn't get a chance, so there it is.
No, that's a really interesting perspective on it, and it's correct, and it's I actually like The Rock in, I guess, the role he's playing now as a guy around to play the part of a wrestler on occasion. I think it's a fun use of him, and I think The Rock is good for the company. Let's move on. Undertaker versus CM Punk. Golly. On the outside looking in, like a few months ago when it became evident this is probably where the chips are going to fall, Taker versus Punk is most likely what we're going to see, I was psyched about it. The build to this match has not left me in that same position. Jake, Undertaker versus CM Punk and your prediction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the band's still playing here, but the ship hit the iceberg about 3-4 weeks ago when they switched directions and decided to go, you know, with the Paul Bearer angle after his, you know, his unfortunate death. And I think it really took its toll on this story. I mean, and Will and I spoke about this on the countdown, but I really liked where they were going initially with, you know, Punk just out and out saying that he's the best in the world. You know, he had the longest reigning WWE title reign in decades. He just wanted to take on the streak because he knew he could end it. And that was a good enough story for me. I mean, The Undertaker's response, the silent one on the ramp was good enough too. I mean, they were on a good trajectory there. And then Paul Bearer's death kind of turned this thing into the occult story that we got for the past 3 or 4 weeks. And I just haven't liked it. I haven't been on the same page as the story. It didn't seem like the wrestlers were particularly heartened by it. You know, there was a couple of moments there where nobody really looked inspired at all. And it's been problematic. I agree with Will. I think, you know, the match had great promise and still does. I think we're going to get a fantastic match. And I think we see, you know, The Undertaker continue the streak here. But I personally just have not been enthused at all by the build, and I think they dropped the ball when they switched directions after Paul Bearer's death.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I think we're going 21-0. Go, Jeff.
Yeah, the build has been fine for what it is, but what it is sucks. I mean, they've exploited the Paul Bearer situation about as much as they can without literally digging him up from his grave, which I guess they did symbolically on Monday night with the ashes situation. Yeah, it's distasteful. It's not something that you tune into wrestling to see. It's going to be an outstanding match, but it seems like the goal for the WWE writers in this storyline has been, what can we do to make it seem 100% certain that Undertaker is going to win this match? Because when this feud started, I had doubts. Not it was probably 1% to 99%, but there was at least that doubt creeping in. Could Punk be the guy? He's young enough. He'll have a career after this. He's already established. He could build off of this. He could become even bigger than he was. But now, no, 0% chance. The build has been bad. Nothing. The match is going to be great, but it's only going to cancel out a build that's been pretty disappointing so far. Well, so far, the build's over.
Hey, they could do something on like the 20-minute version of SmackDown, smattered amongst video packages.
What are they going to do though? Have Punk take a dump in the urn? I mean, Jesus, they've done everything they can to disgrace Paul Bearer at this point.
Well, they didn't outright say that the urn contained Paul Bearer. Originally, it was Undertaker's parents in there. Maybe he's covered in his parents' ashes. Don't get crazy.
Oh, even better.
Well, there were a lot of ashes. Maybe just every person Undertaker's known for the past 20 years is just stuffed in that urn. You never know.
What about that camera guy? Like Kane set on fire in 1998. Maybe that guy's in.
He's got to be. Even if he didn't die, there's probably ashes that were produced from that at some point.
Who was it, Sin, Snuka, or Manu that dropped Undertaker on his head at WrestleMania 25? That guy's
in the urn. I think it was Snuka, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sin Snuka's in the urn. Douchebag dropping the Undertaker. Not okay. I don't care whose fault that was.
He's in the urn, and he's in the urn.
Yeah, absolutely. Build has been subpar. I say Undertaker goes over 21-0, and I have to figure out a way to write about this build next year to continue the streak series. F you, WWE. Let's move on. Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. Triple H's career is on the line. There are absolutely no holds barred, and my personal hero, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, is in Triple H's corner. Jeff, what's your prediction on this one?
The Michaels thing, it reinforces my belief that it's over. I mean, what do you do with Shawn Michaels out there if Triple H wins? Are they going to hug and the same thing we got last year? Your question was interesting, too. What era ended last year? All three of those guys are on the show again this year, two of them together in the same match. So I just think Triple H wants that spotlight one last time. I don't think, even if he loses, this will be his last match, but I think he wants to make us think it is. Nothing here for Triple H to prove, so to speak, as a character. Brock Lesnar wins. That's my prediction. I think I'm the only one with that prediction.
Bork Laser going over. What do you say, Jake?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think Lesnar goes over here. I think the build had been enough for me. I mean, up until Monday, I said on the countdown, I thought the additional Michaels was kind of superfluous and kind of gave away a lot of what they plan on doing. I'll shut up about Michaels. But, yeah, the whole thing, to me, was already done on Monday, and they added Michaels. So, to me, it just says that they want to set up an emotional moment on the pay-per-view on Sunday between those two, and it's going to be, Triple H taking a loss. So I'm picking Brock Lesnar here, and I think this build, has been great throughout. It's been my favorite build of any match going into this card. And I think we're going to see a much better match than we saw between these guys at SummerSlam, at least if that beating that Triple H gave Lesnar earlier in February was enough.
It'll be
easy.
It'll
really be possible that Shawn Michaels is there to bump around for Lesnar a little bit, along with Triple H, just to make Lesnar look like that much more of a beast. I do think we get a super kick into a pedigree spot for a near fall with no holds barred. That means that Shawn Michaels can hold Brock Lesnar any way he wants. I've never figured out what no holds barred means. But I'm gonna pick right now Triple H going over. I think that he's still that guy, the in case of emergency guy. I think even if he loses, we don't see his last match. But and also just to be contrary with you guys a little bit, I think Triple H goes over and we get the big Triple H and Shawn Michaels hug in the middle of the ring, and Brock goes away for a few months, comes back, and is a monster again because that's just kind of what he does.
Yeah, the Triple H situation, it'll be so easy to get him back in the ring. If he loses this match, he'll be a babyface, on-air authority figure at some point. A heel will challenge him. He won't be able to back down. Vince McMahon or Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair or whoever will give him his blessing to wrestle, and he'll wrestle. This won't be Triple H's last match, but he will get that shining moment.
It's true. I mean, people love walking out slowly and gazing back at the ring at WrestleMania. If there's
Triple
one thing I've learned watching WrestleMania in the last, 5 years.
Just how long will that rant be this year? That's the question. Will he have to soak in the cheers for 8 to 9 minutes as he walks back, or will it be a Madison Square Garden-type 30-second ramp and see you later?
Well, my question is Triple H going to get cheered at the end? Look at what happened to him at SummerSlam.
That's, I completely agree. That's extremely iffy to me. Triple H isn't like super beloved. I mean, he came back in New York after he got injured what 10 years ago or so, and they absolutely went nuts. But he's not as loved. His peak level of amount of love that he's received, he is far down from that right now. So it's dangerous for him to expect to just be adored if he has to retire here.
Jake, is Triple H going to get the "you tapped out" chant like he got at a SummerSlam if he does lose this match?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that because if you go back and watch the finish to that match and how long he just laid there waiting for the crowd to perk up and cheer for him, it was an agonizing amount of time. And, you know, I'm uncertain about what kind of reaction he's going to get in New York. It's a tough crowd, and I think just about everybody that's going to be at that show, I mean, absolutely knows he's going to walk backstage and, you know, order somebody to give him coffee or something. I mean, it's not like he's leaving wrestling period to go, you know, leave a monastic lifestyle somewhere. He still practically, you know, runs the WWE by himself for the most part. So I don't know how much sympathy he's going to get. I definitely think you could see a split reaction for him in New York.
The one thing I do think, though, in regards to that, the WrestleMania crowd is a smart crowd, as we've heard many times. I think even if they don't want to cheer Triple H, if they're not, you know, completely on board, they'll at least do it out of respect. And you don't get a lot of those respect, but they'll recognize the moment, I think. I would hope, and at least give them a little something.
Let's hope so, if it does happen, because I think it has a chance to be a cool WrestleMania moment. Triple H walking, you know, walking away for quote-unquote the last time. And if he does retire here, I don't think we see Triple H for at least a year or two.
I would say he takes one WrestleMania off, probably comes back at 31. That would be my best guess.
Yeah. So let's move on. Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. I'll go ahead and do the predicting first on this one since I haven't. And also, guys, included in your prediction for this match is there has to be a Money in the Bank prediction as well with that in play. Just to, you know, spice things up a little bit. I think Del Rio retains the title against Jack Swagger. Dolph Ziggler does cash in here, as much as I think there is a more compelling story to tell with time running out on Ziggler. Again, I just talked about making a WrestleMania moment. This could be a big one. Dolph Ziggler cashes in the Money in the Bank on Alberto Del Rio on the biggest stage at WrestleMania and wins the World Heavyweight title. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'll make an even more bombastic prediction since I'm probably going to be wrong anyway. I'm going to predict that Del Rio goes over Swagger in the opening match, and the cash-in is basically one part of the opening of the show. And it probably just sets the tone for the entire thing. I think this build has sucked, but I think the match is going to be good, and I think the cash-in will be a huge moment, and I think it's all going to happen.
Next.
I'm going to start a petition to call the World Heavyweight Championship match at every WrestleMania the Daniel Bryan 18-second Memorial Classic. Does that fly with you guys? Does it have a nice ring to it?
Go for it. Yeah, start the petition. I'll sign it, but I don't know where it's going to go.
Well, I have at least one signature. That joke fell flat. But I'm with you. I think Dolph Ziggler cashes in, but I think he cashes in on Swagger after Swagger wins. Swagger's not a long-term champion to me anyway. His character's dying. Cashing in at WrestleMania, fans will love it. I think that instantly turns Dolph Ziggler, so I think that has to happen after the tag team match. I don't know the order of the matches that they'll kind of decide to go with, but Dolph Ziggler cashing in at WrestleMania, he has to be a babyface at that point, doesn't he?
No.
Everyone is going to cheer it. Everyone's going to love it.
Cheer it, but everyone cheers every Money in the Bank cash-in. The cheer for the cash-in, to me, is more about, oh, my God, I'm seeing, and especially in the early days, and now it's a little different because it's the cash-in has become a trope, but it's, oh, my God, I'm seeing this title change. I'm seeing basically a guaranteed title change right in front of me. I think Dolph Ziggler, yeah, he gets cheered, gets a big celebration in New York, but I think it would be easy to go to Raw on Monday or SmackDown on a Friday night, and you're right back to Dolph Ziggler taunting Del Rio. Del Rio and Swagger can move down the card, and you can, you know, break off your Orton or your Sheamus or someone from this match with the Shield, and do a series with Dolph Ziggler where he's able to get over as a heel with the title.
I'm with you. I just think it's time. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, everyone loves him. Everyone loves watching him perform. He's going to be a babyface eventually. This could be his moment. I can see a Sheamus feud, yes, if he remains heel, something like that. But, again, this is your season finale. Start over, turn the page, give us something new.
I also think that Dolph Ziggler leaves with the tag titles as well. So that's part of why I say he stays a heel, is I see him, Big E, and AJ running things over, especially on the SmackDown brand for a little while, and them really getting some time in the sun as star power wanes post-WrestleMania. You know what, let's just go to that match right now. We're all predicting a cash-in. So does Dolph Ziggler leave with two title belts around his waist and or shoulders or wherever he decides to wear them? Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning that direction. I think Team Hell No is pretty well played out. They need some different blood atop the tag division. I think Big E and Ziggler are a good fit for that, you know, regardless of whatever happens with the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm predicting a Big E and Ziggler win here, and I think it'll be a good thing. You know, there was definitely a time where I was a huge fan of Team Hell No, where I was really into their comedy. I thought it was a funny bit, but I think it's over now, and I think Brian and Kane should be off to better things, and especially Brian, who seems to be kind of languishing there in the middle of the card, but I think he deserves better, especially post-WrestleMania when people are kind of filing out of the company, at least as far as the part-timers are concerned.
I'm going the other way. I don't think Brian and Big E get it done here. Who are they gonna face? I don't think there are. Are there any other baby face tag teams besides Team Hell No?
The Usos. Hello.
Oh. Okay. Two-time DUI Jimmy Uso. Yeah. I think they lose in the opening match, and then Dolph Ziggler cashes in later. And if he's has two championships, the tag team titles become even less meaningless because they'll rarely defend him if he's also the World Heavyweight Champion. So I think Team Hell No retains.
Man, one of these days, Daniel Bryan won't be in the opening match or pre-show match of WrestleMania.
Well, he's there. I mean, you got to keep him there now. Every year.
That's just what he does now. Jake, do you see... talking about that, do you see it going down that way with the opening match being the tag title match and then Ziggler cashing in later in the show, or do you see him being world champion by the time he walks into the tag match?
I think we're going to see the World Heavyweight Championship open the show again. I mean, they've had it happen a couple of years in a row now. It seems to be kind of a trope that they're going with. But I don't think it, you know, the one necessarily has to mean anything for the other in this case. I mean, I guess it could, but I would assume that we're going to see Ziggler pick up the World Heavyweight Championship belt before they get to this match, because I see this match kind of happening in the middle of the card. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but, you know, I think we're going to see Ziggler pick up the belt, walk into this match, and if they really, you know, want to cement Ziggler as a heel or turn him babyface, just have him walk away from his team. I mean, you know, there are things that they can do with Ziggler to, you know, really cement his character on this show, because he's going to have more airtime on the pay-per-view likely than anyone, especially if he cashes in. So I'm not entirely certain, but I'm guessing he'll have the belt when he walks into the tag match, and I would assume that they win. I mean, they pick up both belts, but I mean, I could see, you know, Ziggler turning on his team and walking away even more of a heel than he was before.
I like Big E as a bodyguard right now, and I like what AJ's doing with him, and you know, AJ sure did look pretty holding up those tag titles. I'm a fan. Let's move on to I made it awkward, like I do. Let's move on to another guy that made it awkward on Monday night, Mark Henry, with his sexual chocolate style promo. He's taking on Ryback. This is kind of the big man power matchup of WrestleMania. Jeff, who wins, the Ryback, or does he get inducted into the Hall of Pain?
I got the Ryback winning, and this build for me has been okay. It's been fine. These are the two strongest guys, I guess, in the company. At least they're being billed that way pretty much. So, I mean, weightlifting isn't the most exciting thing to watch on television. It's certainly not the most exciting thing to watch on a wrestling show, but I get it. I mean, you know, they're trying to get over the strength of these two guys. It'll be a better than average big man match and Ryback wins.
Yeah, I guess I can't really disagree with anything there. I mean, that's kind of what I see happening. So I think the build has been maybe even a little below average. I mean, it's I thought the weightlifting segment was pretty boring. You know, they didn't really do anything prior to that except have Vicky Guerrero awkwardly pull Ryback out of the six-man match and plug him into a match with Henry, and that was a bizarre segment. And then, you know, you had Henry's kind of strangely homoerotic sexual chocolate promo on Monday. I don't know. I still see your same result. Maybe I just not as sold on the build. I thought it was a little below average.
Yeah, it wasn't the build that I thought we were going to see. I thought we'd get – I did think we'd get some of the strongman competition type stuff, but I don't know. I'm one of those guys that'll watch Mark Henry beat up a jobber for, like, 3 hours. So
I enjoy that as well.
I would be fine. Yeah, like, I would be fine with him just yelling, "That's what I do!" for, like, half of Raw 1 week. I did just somehow in my head make the connection that Rob will be 6 hours one day. Get ready, folks. 6 hours on every Monday night. Look, Mark Henry, can Ryback get him up for the finisher? I do think Ryback wins here as well. I think after WrestleMania, as they we're seeing guys who were in main events at the end of last year that got kind of moved down the card, not exactly moved out of it, but moved down the card as far as their standing goes, to make room for The Rock, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, Triple H, that group coming in. Do we see those guys move back up? I think Ryback, they're going to try and push him hard coming out of WrestleMania, which does, I think, give credence to either Dolph Ziggler as a heel champion on SmackDown or John Cena as a not quite the white meat babyface we've come to expect on Raw. It gives credence to one of those, definitely. I think they try and push Ryback hard. He gets Mark Henry up for the shell shock on this show. I think they're probably rehearsing that as we speak. And it's going to be a fun big man match, probably close to the style of Hogan versus Warrior, but nowhere near as good.
It's unfortunate that that Henry got injured about a year and a half ago, whenever that happened, and his push was a little bit derailed. He's come back. He's been just as good as he was then, maybe even better. His mic work's unbelievable. His character development and his portrayal of that kind of character is amazing. So I think they'd be making a mistake here to go with Ryback moving forward. I know he's younger, he's fresher. Mark Henry's pushing 40, but he's still a guy to me.
Yeah. Jake, do you think Mark Henry, do you think he gets it back pretty far, like pretty quickly after WrestleMania if he does take the loss here?
I don't think it would take much. I mean, I think, you know, WWE likes to have the baby faces go over in these types of matches. I mean, just from prior experience, especially when there really isn't a lot of consequences involved here. I mean, Henry loses, but he can, you know, World's Strongest Slam 15 jobbers next night and probably get most of his heat back. So I don't really see it being a huge obstacle for him to overcome. I do agree, though, that I was hoping they'd have him in a more prominent role at WrestleMania, but I think having, you know, Triple H and Undertaker and Lesnar and The Rock involved kind of pushed everybody else down the card. And that's kind of disappointing, but I guess it is what it is. But I don't think it'll be much of an impediment to Henry's long-term success if they want to put him right back into a more prominent role. He just needs a couple of weeks to get his heat back.
Interestingly enough on this show, 9 out of the 10 matches feature a former world champion. That's actually pretty crazy. The only match that doesn't is Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls versus Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bellas. Oh, that says something right there. And, you know, who knows how close they were to putting the title on Cody.
Cameron's not a former world champion?
It's shocking, I know, but
I thought Cameron
came close
got
to
one.
Winning the world heavyweight title in a battle royal that also featured Kurt Angle, but Angle ended up throwing her over the top rope back in 2006.
Of course.
Let's move on to The Shield versus 3 former world champions, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and The Big Show. The Shield's one of those teams and one of those acts that was really hot, doing a ton, and then the part-timers came in, and I feel like The Shield entered a holding pattern, and it's not a bad holding pattern at all that they've been in. I still find what they're doing compelling. But the Shield, they're in there with 3 former world champions, yet somehow they seem like they were kind of put in the mid-card for WrestleMania. I don't mind it. It's a consequence of the other stories WWE is telling. I'm going to pick the Shield to go over here. Were it a different team, I believe we'd be seeing the Shield lose. But with it being Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show kind of cobbled together the way they are, I think that we get more Shield dominance to set them up to return to prominence after WrestleMania.
Dominance to prominence. There it is. I'm with you. Shield, I think, goes over clean. And my predictions, I kind of hedged a little bit with the talk of, you know, Big Show, you know, maybe turning on his team or Randy Orton being involved in something like that. But, yeah, if Shield goes over clean, you don't want to boggle too many things down. If Ziggler's going to cash in, if Cena's going to turn, you don't want too much of that kind of drama in this match. Shield goes over kind of uneventfully, I would say.
Yeah, on my end, I'm expecting a little bit more controversy, I guess. Not necessarily with the finish, but, I mean, I think we're going to see Randy Orton perhaps hint at a heel turn or something at this point. He's been portrayed in this build as, like, the voice of reason on the babyface team, while Sheamus and Big Show have been bickering, and it's totally out of character for him. He's not the voice of reason for anything, anytime, anywhere. And they've really portrayed the babyface team as really only – the Shield only has a chance, really, if the babyface team falls apart. And that's really what the build has told us thus far, with how much they've been bickering, especially on SmackDown, where they've actually had a chance to do longer promos. But I'm expecting the Shield to go over, but likely because the babyface team ends up falling apart somehow, whether it's and I'm assuming it's Orton, but I suppose it could be Big Show, too.
I think it's Orton. I don't know that we get the full-on Randy Orton heel turn here. But I do think we see either maybe Sheamus takes the pin and Orton starts getting mad at him, or we see Orton take the pin and kind of turn coming out of that. I do think that a Randy Orton heel turn is going to be one of our top stories in the next couple of months as we, you know, again, as we kind of get into this WrestleMania season and or this post-WrestleMania season. That's another story that WWE is sitting on that they can – do something special with.
Do
all
people
right, guys,
still care about Randy Orton real quick? Do people still care about Randy Orton? Isn't he just he's just there? I mean, do people like him, or do people worry about if he's going to turn heel? Is that something that's on people's minds?
I think will care with a heel turn. I think Randy Orton is much more motivated when playing a heel. It's much more natural for him. I think people will care when Randy Orton does make that big turn, and he has a shot at being – I don't think he'll ever be the top villain in the company again. Those days came and went, and God, they were boring in 2009. But I think he's got a really good shot at being number two or number three guy up there to feud with the likes of Sheamus, the Big Show, and wrestlers like that.
Good enough.
Let's go into the lightning round real quick. Guys, your quick, very quick predictions on Tubs of Funk and the Funkadactyls versus Team Rogue Scholars and the Bella Twins.
Gotta go with Tons of Funk. I think they're just going to be babyface heavy wins here in the pay-per-view.
What do you think, Jeff?
I'm the same way, kind of a buffer match in there. Tons of Funk wins.
Are we going to get the Dancing Mamas out again this year? That's what I want to know. I hope we do. For me, Funk will always be on a roll somewhere deep inside my heart. So I'm with you guys. Tons of Funk over. Wade Barrett versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship on the WrestleMania pre-show. I'm picking Miz. He'll win the Intercontinental Championship. No one will really care. But it might be a nice babyface win to get people motivated to see WrestleMania. Jeff, what do you think?
I guess. This is the least interesting match maybe in the history of wrestling. I picked Wade Barrett. I'll stick with it.
Jake, tiebreaker.
I'm taking The Miz to win the Intercontinental title and go on to lose 64 sequential non-title matches on WWE television.
What's weird is he'll do that all in the period of about 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What did I say on the countdown? WWE produced 42 hours of television between Raw, SmackDown, and Main Event, between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. That's not that far out of a prediction to say he'll lose that many non-title matches on TV.
That's not something worth touting or bragging about either.
It is worth touting, though. I made a tout about it.
I'm going to give my dog a tout. I've promised friends and family that one day I will tout and I will find a dog because I don't have one, and I'll get the dog and the tout with me.
I will not tout. I've used Vine once, but now I can't figure out anything else besides my dog to Vine. And my wife
is
already.
That lasts only 6 seconds. Sorry, go ahead.
My wife is already that person on Instagram that all she posts is pictures of our pets, so I don't want to become that person. So I've just been hesitant to Vine anything else. I don't understand it. I don't know. I feel like video. I don't like watching things with sound when I'm like out and about where I can check pictures and Twitter and everything else easily. Jake, your thoughts on tout?
Terrible. I don't know why you're asking me that.
That was a little bit of an awkward segue.
What if you found out that Bork Laser himself was on tout? I mean, I know that would sell me on it. I would download the hell out of that app.
Yeah, I think Lesnar or Laser 6 second promos might actually be way better than what we get normally from him. So I'm down for Bork Laser 6 second promos.
What if it's just him holding a picture of Triple H going, "I'm gonna kill him,"
or like eating that? He just eating the photo right there. That'd be even better.
Oh, that would be hot. You're getting me all hot, bothered, and excited. Finally, our last match we have to cover today.
Can we just roll through various social media implementations and just get Jake's opinion on them? Jake, Friendster, go.
Friendster? Dead.
Yeah.
What about MySpace? Okay. Justin Timberlake's bringing it back.
God help us.
Are you insulting Justin Timberlake now?
Don't do that.
I think it's kind of sad that he's bringing back MySpace, though.
Okay.
What's the point?
As long as you're not insulting Timberlake, because I will not stand for that shit. Moving on to the last match that we have to cover, Chris Jericho, former world champion, first ever undisputed champion, against Fandango, or however you say it, Fandango, as his first little vignette said. Let's talk a little bit about this one. Jake, what have you thought of the build, and who wins this?
You know, I haven't been... I was expecting total disappointment with this build just based on how it didn't really like Fandango when he got started. But I think they've done a pretty good job of introducing some kind of craziness to his character when he kind of loses his temper and flips out. And, you know, I think Jericho has done a decent job of interjecting some comedy, and I'm expecting a good match. I mean, if nothing else, you know, I don't expect this to be interesting long term. I don't know how long Fandango as a character is going to last. But I think we're going to see an excellent match technically from Johnny Curtis and Chris Jericho, and I'm expecting Chris Jericho to go over.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't expect Chris Jericho to go over. I don't remember what I picked. I think I had Fandango winning. It's going to be a good match. Jericho will get the most out of Johnny Curtis. I'm kind of perplexed by the people who are kind of down on this match a little bit. We really haven't seen much of Johnny Curtis unless you watch NXT, which I hate to admit that I don't, and I haven't really ever. But he'll be fine. This is going to be a fun, exciting 8, 9, 10-minute match. No complaints here, at least going in.
NXT Tuesday nights used to be like the best thing about the .NET Forum. A couple years back, when the show became online only and terrible, everyone would just go into the forum, and it would be the best live thread of the week on a weekly basis, basically.
I missed that.
Yeah, they were pretty great. If only you had been paying to work for the site then, Jeff. I'm picking Fandango here. I think maybe we get another match with Jericho over in Europe or something for one of the shows that he's advertised for. Jericho likes making new guys. I think we're going to see a whole lot of baby faces win on this show, and this will be one of the only circumstances where we see a heel win, and it'll be a solid debut from Johnny Curtis. He's committed to being weird, and I think WWE is committed to somehow getting him over, and this will be their best shot at doing so. So, guys, we on .NET, let's talk a little bit about what we've got going on this week. Jeff, I saw that your preview and predictions are already up for WrestleMania. You were the early bird on that one. Way to get after that worm and allow the rest of us to copy your formatting, because I don't remember how we format those.
I don't think I have any format secrets. I think Jason changed pretty much everything I did. So, It's fine.
Well, that's what I'm going to go with. Did he change your predictions, too? Because that would be a dick move.
Probably. He probably changed at least four.
Jason's just like, huh, this guy's picking Fandango to win the world title. What a dude. Oh, that'd be great. I might go in and change your predictions now. But let's do you have a blog or anything else coming out prior to WrestleMania?
I don't know. Maybe. I was thinking about writing something on Ric Flair, but then that's kind of become irrelevant as we get closer to WrestleMania. I'm covering the Final Four for the Wichita Eagle, and we're leaving in about 3 hours. I don't know. I don't know if I'll have time to blog or not. If I have time, I'll find time, and I'll make time, and I'll do it. But I wouldn't expect anything at this point.
Sweet. Jake, I know you mentioned something that you have coming up. What is it? Give us a little preview.
Well, I do have a blog that's going to go up later this afternoon just regarding the CM Punk and Undertaker build for WrestleMania. And then I have SmackDown coverage where I'll spend 2 hours watching two matches and an hour and 40 minutes with video packages. And then we have our post-WrestleMania audio after the show's over. So that's what I got going. And also we'll have one-shots from all the .NET staffers about their quick-fire thoughts about WrestleMania after the show as well.
If we remember to send them to you. I'll be in the one-shots. I'll be my WrestleMania predictions will be up Saturday along with, Saturday. That's going to be fun. Along with my final blog of my I'm Going to WrestleMania Royal Rumble Winner Series, that's going to go up. I'm really proud of how that final blog has turned out, so I'm happy about that. And an addendum to the Undertaker Streak series with kind of the story and some analysis of the end of an era match in the Hell in a Cell last year, plus a little something extra that I thought was fun to compile. That's all going to be on Saturday. My WrestleMania, my Undertaker Streak series rerunning throughout the week. And, WrestleMania audio with Jake and Ryan Kester after the show. I may spend the entire time we are doing that show talking about the awesome nachos I made on WrestleMania night. So be ready for that. I make some great nachos.
All right, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I want pictures, Jake, Instagram, something. You got to send them over to me.
I'm going to Instagram the hell out of those. Jake, you've got to come over for a pay-per-view sometime. I mean, I know the logic of it is terrible, but you should just say, forget logic, spend your kids' college funds, and get down here. We'll hang out. Do a live version of the countdown.
Something. You got to try something.
Sweet. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for this preview and predictions today. Guys, make sure to check out ProWrestling.net. Everyone listening, head over to the website. Sign up for that membership. Seriously, a great value in wrestling website membership. I mean, Jeff is even willing to pay for it after he started writing for the site. That's – if you need evidence of just how valuable it is, there it is.
Certifiably insane, but that's how good the coverage is.
Enjoy your WrestleMania Sundays and enjoy the build-up to them. And, Jeff, thank you. Happy ProWrestling.net audio debut. You didn't suck, so
well,
there's that.
Good. That was my goal, not to suck. I'd be happy to do this with you guys anytime. I'd love to get my hands on both of you.
That sounded terrible. Was that like the Mark Henry promo from Monday Night?
Yeah.
Monday Night.
It was.
Exactly what it was. And I know you guys would love to get your hands on me.
What if he cuts an even more awkward promo at WrestleMania? If he's just like, I'm going to rub myself down with your sweat, Ryback. Like, what if he just...
What if they just hug it out, like, really creepily for, like, 15 minutes in the ring? That'd be even better.
Well, what if he becomes aggressive sexual chocolate? That's what
well, that
I
didn't get weird or anything.
Sexual harassment chocolate is his new name.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know why Vince McMahon hasn't called us yet and just hired us to come in and write specifically for Mark Henry. Thank you,
everyone.
And if Jason doesn't fire Jake and I, we'll be back with the WrestleMania All Access review. Have a good one, folks.